We're going to look at one verse this morning, and it's John 3:16. Now, this is a very well known verse. Anytime there's a, you know, an international sports event on, and you're watching it on television, 9 times out of 10, camera will zero in on some guy in the spectators carrying a placard, and written in large letters is John 3:16. Now, not only is it a very well-known verse, it's a very misunderstood and controversial verse. And there are three interpretations of this verse. There's universalism, which states that God died for the world, and he died for every man, woman and child in the world. Therefore, the world is saved. And we don't have to spend too much time discussing universalism, because we know legions of people have gone to hell, are going to hell, and will continue to go to hell till the Lord comes back. So we can forget that. And then we come to the Arminian viewpoint. And the Arminian viewpoint is a sort of a semi-universalism. They believe, as the universalists do, that God died, loved the world, he loved every man, woman and child in the world, and he died for the sins of every man, woman and child. But they hold that when Christ died on the cross, his death in of itself had no power to save anybody. And it only derives its power with the addition of an act of man's free will. Without addition of a man's free will, Christ's death on the cross is powerless to save anybody. Now, it astounds me the arrogance behind this statement, because here you have the creature saying to the Creator, my will can defeat your will. They would have us believe that God, in the deepest fiber of his being, wants to save every man, woman and child. You know, he's stretching his hands out, pleading for them to come in. But he is totally incapable of saving anybody unless man gives him the creator, the power. Talk about arrogance. The creature putting himself into a superior position to the creator. Now, the Armenians teach us that God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Now, to believe this, they must be very selective in the reading of Scripture. Because Proverbs chapter 6, reading from verse 16, says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord is talking to the children of Israel, and he says, I loved you. But in verse 3 he says, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. God hates sin, and he hates the sinner. You know, our God is sovereign. We are part of his creation. We are his property. and that it's open to God to hate or love what he wills, or to hate and love who he will. It's entirely open to God. The third question, well, Ephesians tells us we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are stone cold corpses, spiritually. We are as dead as Lazarus was dead, and we're as incapable of helping ourselves spiritually as Lazarus was in helping himself physically. Ephesians also tells us we are saved by grace, through faith, by grace, and this not of ourselves, is the gift of God. So that the very faith that we are got in this room, is the very faith that brought us to the Lord, is a gift from God. Armenians think God died just to offer salvation, and he died for no one in particular. The Reformed viewpoint is that Christ died on the cross specifically for the elect. Scripture tells us we have to be quickened. We have to be made alive. Experience the new birth. To be born again. Born from above. Armenians tell us as soon as we believe, we are born. Scripture tells us that unless we're born again, we cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Not that we won't, not that we'll resist it, but that we cannot. You must be born again before you can enter or even see the kingdom of God. The Lord himself tells us in John chapter 3, reading from verse 13, and he's speaking to Nicodemus here. And he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there are many, many verses that I could quote that shows the error of both universalism and the Armenian type of universalism as well. And there are many verses I could quote to show the correctness of the Reformed view that Christ died only for the elect. Now, having said that, I'm going to make a statement now that will make you sit up in your seat and want to maybe protest. So I just ask you to bear with me. I believe that John 3:16 means exactly what it said. That God loved the world, that he loved every man, woman and child in that world, and that he will save every man, woman and child in that world. I know you're all puzzled about this. I want to go to Genesis, and we're reading chapter 3 of Genesis, and we're reading from verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow, thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou return. This was God's curse on humanity and on the world. The Pentecostals would have us believe that Satan is responsible for disease and sickness and everything else. Satan's not responsible for it. It's part of God's course. He told Adam and Eve, surely as you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will die. At that moment in time, they died spiritually. Physical death would follow in due time. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Very nature itself is waiting for the completion of the renewal work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So man is cursed. The earth, the very earth he stood on, is cursed. How can I say God loves the world and every man and woman in that world, and will save every man and woman in it? I want you to go back to Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to read just various verses. Chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. And now we come to the pinnacle of God's creation, the creation of man, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Now note here, it seems that humanity and the animal kingdom were vegetarian. Everything was at peace. The lion wasn't jumping on the lamb, tearing them to bits. You know, the wolf wasn't chasing. Everything was perfect. Everything was peaceful. And we finished the verse, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. and the evening and the morning were a sixth day. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. And I think it's significant that it says he loved the world. Because if we said God so loves the world, it would mean he loved it in its creation, he loved it at its fall, and he loves it right up to the present day. But it says God so loved the world. God loved the world in its perfection, and he loved man in man's perfection. And at the fall, there was the curse, but there's also the promise. Verse 14 of Genesis 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the promise. This is the promise of the Messiah coming. The eternal Son of God being manifested in the flesh to save his sheep. Now Scripture clearly tells us that our names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world was laid. And if our names was written in the book of life before the foundation of the world was laid, we are the Lord's sheep. Like all sheep through the fall, we strayed. But let me tell you, if I am a farmer and I have a flock of sheep, and even if only one of those sheep stray onto some stranger's land, it doesn't take away from the fact that that sheep is mine. Right? And we have been the Lord's, through his grace and mercy, from before the mists of time developed, before the foundations of the world was laid, God preordained us to salvation. That is why we are described in terms like the new man, the new creation in Scripture. Christ came to bring the creation and his sheep back to perfection. And though we are not perfect here in the flesh, you know, in God's eyes, we are perfect. Truly we can say, God so loved the world. And we should give thanks and glory to God that we belong to the world that he loved. Amen.